Today's daf is Nedarim daf Chav Gimel. We are going to pick up from Chav Beis Amud Beis. We left off at the bottom of the page, about two lines before the end of the page. And we are discussing various stories of finding a Pesach in order to get out of a Neder. So we're going to tell a couple of more stories of finding a Pesach to get out of a Neder. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, is going to talk about really two halachos. One is when a person takes a neder as a way of encouraging someone to accept his invitation to eat by him, and that's nidrei zruzin, that we're going to view that as just trying to be mezariz the other person. And then it tells us another halacha, which we're going to focus on for the rest of the daf, which is a bitul neder through moda'a meikara, that if a person says in advance that any neder that I'm going to take should be batal in advance, so such a bitul neder can work. And in fact, the Gemara is going to say that that is the minhag to do on Rosh Hashanah, that a person gets up on Rosh Hashanah and says, I'm being mevatel all of the nedarim that I'm going to make throughout the rest of the year. Or maybe Kol Nidrei is when we're mevatel all of the nedarim that a person is going to take through the rest of the year. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to raise a shayla whether anyone argues on the Tanin and the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, about the idea of Nidrei Zruzin that we have in our Mishnah. But again, most of Amud Beis is really going to be about this idea of a bitul neder me'ikara. But let's first go through these stories of finding a Pesach for a neder. Two lines from the bottom of the page, of Chav Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Shimon Rebbe Havelei Nidra L'Mishra. Rabbi Shimon Rebbe had a neder to be matir. Asal Kamei D'Rabbanan, he went to the Rabbanan. Amalei Nadarta Adaita D'Hachi. So the Rabbanan said to him, did you take the neder al das? This, and they came up with some sort of Pesach. You took this neder, did you have this Pesach in mind? Amar in, he said, yeah, I realized it at the time, and I took the neder knowing that, so it wasn't going to discourage me anyway. Adai to dahachi, what about the following Pesach? And they came up with some other Pesach. In, he still said, I had that one in mind also. Kamazimnin, and they kept on coming up with more and more. And the Rabbanan were being mitzvah themselves to come up with a Pesach for the neder, and they'd go from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun. So Amrlei Butnis Breda Abishol ben Butnis. So Butnis, the son of Abishol ben Butnis, and again, here's another example where we find in the Tanaim and Amoraim that they would always use family names when they were naming after children. Butnis was the son of Abishol ben Butnis, obviously he was named after his grandfather, but he said to him, Mina Darta Adaita Dimitzai Rabban Mitula Shimsha Mishimsha Latula, did you take a neder? They're having in mind that the Rabbanan are going to be mitzar themselves from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun. Amar lo, he said, no, I never would have wanted the Rabbanan to be mitzar themselves. Vishar yuha, and therefore they were matir the neder. Rav Zilberstein of Chashuk Echemed has a shaila about a community that were not allowed to build windows in their shul because of the neighbors. There was a hezek ri'iyah issue with the neighbors, and they, I guess, lived in a good climate, and they wanted to know if they could build a shul that's half roofed and half not roofed, whether that's a violation of Chadash Asim Min HaTorah. Now, generally speaking, especially when it comes to construction of a shul, we try not to change the minhagim of the way things are set up. That's why the bima is always in the middle. We don't move the Chassam Sofer made a very big deal not to move the bima to the front like the Reform do, and because it's a way of mimicking the churches, and this is, he thought, was Chadash Asim Min HaTorah. There are other reasons it should be in the middle also, but the question was whether whoever heard of a shul that has half a roof and half sunlight, so maybe that would be a violation of Chadash Asim Min HaTorah. So he brings a raya from this Gemara that it's not a violation. Because what's this talking about? Mitztari Rabbanu Mishimsha L'tula Mitula L'shimsha. What does that mean? That the Rabbanu were being mitzar themselves to go from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun. Who told them to go anywhere? Let them sit still and try to figure out, work out a Pesach for this neder. What's going on with the shade to the sun? So the Marsha writes that apparently they had their base medrash were half roofed, and in the morning and the evening where it wasn't so hot, they would sit in the part that wasn't roofed, and they would sit under the sunlight, and in the afternoon when it got really hot, they would go into the shady area. So when the Gemara says they went mishimsha l'tula mitula shimsha, it just meant they spent a lot of time trying to think of a Pesach for the neder, so much time that it went from morning to noon to night by them starting off in the shade, in the sunlight, then the shade, then the sunlight. just by because that's what they did as the day went on. So Rav Zilberstein says, you see from there though, that apparently it's not chadash. This is a very old minhag, that if you live in the right climate for it, which apparently in Bavel was about the right climate for it, where they didn't have air conditioning, so they it was cold at night, but weren't too hot during the day, so they would want to be in the shade during the day, and out in the sunlight at night or early in the morning. So that's what they used to do. So anyway, so that was the that was the Pesach that they found for this neder. Rabbi, another story of a Pesach they found for a neder. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi havli nidra lemishra. Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi had a neder to be matir. Asal kamayid rabbanan. So he went to the rabbanan. Amrulay, the rabbanan said nedarta adaita dahachi. They came up with some sort of Pesach. They said, did you take a neder al das this Pesach? Amruluhu in. He said, nah, I had that in mind. And the neder, I took the neder off al pikein. Nedarta adaita dahachi. They came up with some other Pesach. What about this? Did you take the neder having this in mind? Amruluhu in. Yeah, I took the neder even having that in mind. Kamazimnin, and they kept on coming up with more and more, with more ideas for a Pesach. And each time he said, nah, that I had that in mind. I was taking the neder anyhow. Given the chazahu katsra the mitstari rabbanon machya beuchla de katsri. When a certain katsra saw that the rabbanon were having so much trouble with this, he hit them with the uchla de katsri. So what does this mean? What's a katsra, and what exactly is the uchla de katsri? So the rov rishonim, it's a machlokes rishonim, but the rov rishonim understand that a katsra is the rush understands over here. That a katsra is a koves begadim, someone who's a dry cleaner, someone who cleans clothing for a living. So since this koves saw that the rabbanon were struggling so much by not being able to find a pesach for this neder, he hit them with some sort of clean choshes, some sort of copper kli that he uses in his work. So Amar, so Rabbi Shmuel said, adait demachi katsra lanadri. I didn't take the neder al das that a koves is going to hit me with his metal copper utensil that I never had in mind. V'shargei l'nafshei, and the chamur matir the neder al smach that pesach that he found for himself. That's what shargei l'nafshei means. Tosfos writes in Bava Basra, it doesn't mean that he was matir for himself, because we're going to see much later on in the Gemara that pay alf and beis lo yachel dvaro mikan she'in chacham mefer la'atzmo. A chacham is not allowed to be mefer his own neder. What it means is that he's the one that found the pesach. And the Chum said, ah, that's a good Pesach for the neder, that you never would have expected to be hit with the iron or whatever it is, whatever this metal utensil is that the guy hit you with. And that's enough for the Chacham to be matir. And that's how the Ran said previously by Rav Schoro, also when it had the same lashon of Shar Yil Nafshe, also the Ran said that meant that not that he himself was matir for himself, he's not allowed to. The Me'iri has a different girsa. The Me'iri says, Vishar Yuar Rabbanan, that even though he himself found the Pesach, he was not matir for himself. He actually has the girsa that the Rabbanan were matir. But then the Me'iri writes, even the Yesh Mefarshim that a Talmud Chacham could be matir la'atzmo when there's a Pesach over here. It could be that Rabbi Shmuel was still lefnei Chachamim. He was choshish for their kavod, and he would not be matir la'atzmo. Meaning, even if strictly speaking, he could have been matir la'atzmo, probably in this situation he would not have been matir la'atzmo, because that would have been considered a chutzpah to the other Talmidei Chachamim. Amalei Rav Acha Midifti the Ravina. So Rav Acha Midifti said to Ravina, "Hai nolad hu, this Pesach that it, had you known the guy was going to beat you up, he was going to throw this kli at you, he was going to hit you with this kli, would you have done it? That's considered nolad. That's something that only came after the fact. Nolad is something that wasn't there and you could not have assumed would be there. Meaning, if it's not called nolad, if it's something that just came up later, because every Pesach is something that comes up later, but it's something that you never would have imagined would come up. Nolad is something that's brand new that you never would have would have thought of. The Mishnah in Samach Dalet Amud Aleph brings examples of nolad. A guy says konim sheninan elish ploni, and then that guy became a sofer stam, and he's the only one who writes tefillin and mezuzas in town. down, so you want to be able to buy tefillin and mezuzahs from him. You never would have imagined that that guy would become a sofer. Or the after he said he took a neder that it should be also to get an from him, he was masias b'no. He married off a child to him, and he wanted to be. The guy made a wedding for his child, and he wanted to be mishtatif in the simcha. The reason we're not pasach b'nola, the Meiri writes, is because the reason we're matir b'pesach is since he said if at the time that he took the neder, he would have thought of this that it would be so difficult to keep the neder, or that something is going to result from the neder, he never would have taken the neder. So through the pesach, it becomes a neder b'taus. But a nola is something that the shasa neder no one ever would have imagined. So you can't call that a neder b'taus because that's something that wasn't even considered part of the risk. Adrabba, since it's nolad only right now and not b'shasa neder, so b'shasa neder, the neder was absolutely strong. So nolad, you're not allowed to be poseach with. So the Gemara said, whoever would think that someone's going to come and beat you up with some sort of kli that they use, that the koveis uses, so it's a nolad. Lo masaka daite de machile katra. No one ever would have thought such a thing. V'tanina, and we learned we learned later on, actually, in Samach Dalid, that ain poschin lo b'nolad, that you're not allowed to find a pesach with a neder with something that's only nolad, something that comes up only later on. That's the discussion Tosfos has in Maseches Ksuvos when it tells the story of Rabbi Akiva. How Rabbi Akiva, when he first met his wife, his father-in-law said that he's such an amaretz, he didn't want his daughter to marry such an amaretz. He took a neder that all of his his possessions should be usher on his son-in-law, on Rabbi Akiva. Then Rabbi Akiva goes off to learn yeshiva and he comes back 12 years later, and he comes back again later, and he comes back with 24,000. Talmidim, and he wanted to be Kabbal Shavu, wanted to be Matzah the Neder, because he wanted to find the Pesach for the Neder, because now his son-in-law was a great Gadol Adar, he was no longer an Amaretz. So he said, if you would have known that he would have become who he became, would you have ever taken this Neder? And he said, no, I never would have taken the Neder. Okay, good, fine, Mutalach. So then it's a valid Pesach. So Tos says, what do you mean? Ein Poschen Benolad. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham when he took the Neder. And this was, who would ever imagine that a guy who's an Amaretz, who's a complete Amaretz, is going to become such a Gadol B'Torah? How would you ever, because he said, if I would have known that he would even know anything, if I would have thought he would know anything at all, forget about being a Gadol Dar, I wouldn't have taken the Neder. But it was all Nolad. So Tosaf there points out a very critical Tosaf. Tosaf says, the Bali Musral quote that Tosaf says, that once he had committed to go to Yeshiva, it's not Nolad, it's not something that's unexpected or uncommon, that even the greatest Amaretz will become great. That once he commits himself to go to yeshiva, a person commits himself to learn, so then it's natural, it's ragla davar, it's matzoya davar, it's a natural thing that a person is going to become great in learning when he commits himself to the learning. It's all about the effort to the learning, it's not about his background, it's not about what the expectations of others are of him. If he's going to push himself to go to learn, then he's going to become great in learning. So that was the example of Nolad. But over here, that was an example why that's not Nolad. But over here, it would seem to be a classic case of Nolad. So Amalei said, no, I love Nolad. Who? The Shchichi Apikuri de Mitzari Rabbanon. This isn't considered to be a case of Nolad, because we find Apikuri, we find people who are Amei Aretz and who are lowlives, who take pleasure in giving tsar to the Rabbanan. So since that was something that's very common, Rabbi Shmuel should have realized that someone would hit him, or someone would bother him. Since he should have realized it, it's not considered null, that it's something that's a valid form of Pesach. Next story, the Bitu da Abaye Havalei Ahu Barta. Abaye's wife had a daughter. Pashtus is his wife had a daughter who was from a previous marriage. She was an almana. Abaye's wife was an almana from two previous men. Only afterwards she married Abaye. That's what the Gemara says in Yevamos Tav Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Rachva de Pumbadisa and Rav Yitzchak Brei de Rava Bar Rav Chana. So were the first two husbands of Abaye's wife. So she had a daughter from a previous marriage, and it came time to marry off the daughter, and they were disagreeing about who to marry the daughter off to. Hu amar likrivai. He said, I would like it if this daughter could be married off to someone in my family, to my side of the family. He amra likreva. She said she would like to marry the daughter off to someone in her side of the family. Obviously, a kind of relative that one is allowed to marry. It used to be very common, for example, to marry first cousins. Nowadays, I think it's probably illegal in America, but it used to be a common thing in Europe that people would marry first cousins. So they would always look for someone to in the family to marry. So he said, I want him to marry my relative. She said, I want her to marry my relative. Amr la titzra hanaasi alach yavarta adatoy minasvele lekrevech. So the husband Abaye took a neder and said, I am asking my hanaa on you if you violate what I ask and you marry her off to your relative. But it was her daughter. She got to choose who she marries her off to. Azlus va'avarta al daitei v'intzva lekreva. Abaye's wife didn't listen. She went and she married her off to her own relatives. Asal kamed Rav Yosef, so came to Rav Yosef, Amrle, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, Ilu aviyadat, the avart al daita, chumintzvala lekreva, miyadarta, if you would have known that she was going to do this, that she wasn't going to listen to you, and she was going to marry her off to her own relatives, would you have ever taken such a neder? Amar lo, he said, no, I never would have taken such a neder. Visharya Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef thought that was enough of a reason to be matir the neder. Just the fact that Abaye never thought that she was going to violate what he was going to say. All of the Rishonim of here, the Ran and the Rashba, the Miri and the Mukhi Yosef, they all ask, wait a second, if he never intended to take the neder to asa her, that having in mind that she was ever going to violate this neder, so it turns out that it wasn't a neder to asa her, it's a neder lizarza, it was a neder to encourage her to do as he had asked her, to do. So why isn't this just another example of Nidrei Zruzin, where the neder is mutter me'elav? You don't need hatara, you don't need to be matir the neder at all. It becomes mutter on its own because it's a Nidrei Zruzin. That's what we had previously. So the Rashba said by Nidrei Zruzin, where a guy says the mocher takes a neder, he's not going to sell something for less than a sella, he never had a havamina that the person is going to buy it for the price that he actually wants him to buy it for. And we assume that his das always was for the shlosha dinarim. Over here, Abaye did have did think she was going to listen, and there was the hava. So it's not that he was thinking something else. He was thinking exactly what he said. So it's a different case than the case of Nidrei Zruzin. And that's why over here it does require some level of hatara. So, frankly, Gemara, umi shari ki agavna, is that a valid form of a Pesach that had you known that she wasn't going to obey you, that you never would have taken such a neder? Does it work like that? Is that all you need? Says Gemara, it does work like that. Vatanya, we have a brisa that says like that. Maisa b'demecha, there was a story of a guy shehidur es ishto milalos l'regel, that he took a neder that his wife should not be allowed to be ola l'regel, va'avra al daito va'olsa l'regel. She didn't listen and she went and was ola l'regel. Ubal afnei Rabbi Yossi, and they came to Rabbi Yossi. Amr lo v'ilu ayisi yodea sho'averus al daitcha va'ola l'regel klumi daita. If you would have known that she wasn't going to listen to you and that she was going to be ola l'regel, would you have ever taken such a neder? Amr lo. He said, no, I never would have taken a neder if I would have realized that she wasn't going to listen to what I requested. V'itiru Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi said, okay, that's all you need. That's enough of a reason to be matir. This sugya is quoted in the discussions about when exactly was this, that there was a story being Ola L'Regel in the times of Rabbi Yossi, there was still being Ola L'Regel. What exactly, when did Aliyah L'Regel stop, and when should it have stopped? So the Rush writes that there were Ola L'Regel k'dei l'shmoa es hadrasha, and Nashim would also go l'kavar haTorah. There would be Ola L'Regel to hear the drasha, meaning there was no Beis HaMikdash anymore, so they weren't being Ola L'Regel to bring the Olas Re'iya and the Shalmei Chagiga. They weren't bringing the Kabanos, they'd be Ol L'Regel. There was no Beis HaMikdash anymore. They'd be Ol L'Regel to hear the Drasha. Apparently they held a big Drasha, and the women would go as well. So the Maariz Chayos over here writes that even though that the Maariz Chayos was Rabbi Yossi over here, it was Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Yossi. Maariz Chayos writes that even though Rabbi Yossi was after the Churban, After the Churban, there were also noik to be all the regal to daven in Yerushalayim in the Makom HaMikdash. And he brings rayas to this idea, and he says that when the Rush says that they were ola, it's to be that they were ola for the Beis Medrash. He says for the Drasha, it was to be poshet sveikos that they had in Psak Halacha, that the Gedolei Yisrael would get together there, and they would be poshet these sveikos. That goes Yaivitz, however, says that when it says that lalus regel, it doesn't mean lalus regel in the conventional sense. It doesn't mean that they would go to Yerushalayim by the Beis Hamikdash. He was lachasman churban, and women are pata from Re'ia. No, he says kimoshabata derigla rather. Sheichachamim regilum lidrosh hilchos regel beregel bekol makom ubekolzman. Oh, the regel doesn't mean they went to Yerushalayim. It meant that they went to the drasha, that the Shabbos before Yantif, they would always hold a big drasha, like a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, Shabbos Shuva drasha. The men would go, the women would go, everyone would go to the big drasha. So that's what it means. And they used the melitza, called it Olah the regel, but it doesn't really mean that it was Olah the regel. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes, V'chein nirim yipirish harash, and that's exactly what the Rush says. The Rush doesn't exactly say it, but it sounds that way from the Rush, that the Rush says that that they went for lishmo es hadrasha. So whereas the Maritz Chayis understands that means to hear the drashas that were held in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, it means to hear stama drasha. They would always have a drasha in whatever city it was. The Biyudi discusses in the context of discussing a different halacha, he takes it as a davar pasha that we're not olah l'regel anymore. Even though there's a tshuva satashbeit that says that there's still kedushas hamikdash and kedushas Yerushalayim, and therefore, and the raya is that people are still knowing to be olah l'regel, even though there's no beis hamikdash. So the tashbeit understands that there still is such a minhag of being olah l'regel, but the Biyudi assumes in discussing a different matter, in discussing the issue of being makom pnei rabba beregel, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tazayin says that Chayav Adam Lahakul Pnei Rabba Beregel, a person has to go and greet his Rebbe on Yantif, and the Gemara says that how do we know it? Because Lo Chodesh Hayom V'lo Shabbos, the pasuk says, why are you going to visit the Navi today? It's not Rosh Chodesh, it's not Shabbos. Mikan Shechayav Adam Lahakul Pnei Rabba Beregel. From there we see that you have to go visit your Rebbe on Yantif. So the Navi is bothered by the kasha that everybody's bothered with. Pasuk says that why are you going to visit the Navi? It's not Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh. So how do you see from there that you're supposed to go visit the Rebbe or the Navi on Yantif? Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you should see that you have to go visit. So the Biyudah says, no, the rule is based on the Gemara in Kiddushin. Gemara in Kiddushin talks about standing for Talmidei Chachamim and says that you only have to stand twice a day for a given Chacham because you only have to greet the Shechina twice a day. And it can't be that there's a Chiyuv to greet your Rebbe more than there's a Chiyuv to greet the Shechina. That would be a chutzpah to the Shechina to have a greater Chiyuv. So the Biyudah says, yes, there's a mitzvah to be Olah L'Regel, and really it should apply every Shabbos and to be Makom Pnei Rabba Beregel, and really it should apply every Shabbos, every Rosh Chodesh. But since there's only a mitzvah to be Olah L'Regel three times a year, they could not institute a mitzvah, a chiyuv, to be Mevakar Pnei Rabba any more frequently than that. So Shabbos, Chodesh, every day of Kedusha is a day where it's appropriate to be Mevakar Pnei Rabbo, but it can't be a Chiyuv to be Mevakar Pnei Rabbo more than that time. So in that context, he says that you see that the Hakvalos Pnei Rabbo Regel is Tali and Aliyah L'Regel, and he says, and that's why you may be wondering why you never heard of anybody nowadays that is Makbet to be Makbet Pnei Rabbo Regel, that every Yantav goes to go visit the Rebbe. Why aren't they Makbet about this anymore? He says, because nowadays there's no longer Aliyah L'Regel. So if there's no Aliyah L'Regel, we can't have a Chiyuv of Makbet Pnei Rabbo Regel. So the Navid takes it as a Davar Pashut, that there's no more Aliyah L'Regel, that even with whatever Kedusha that's still remains in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, there's still not going to be a din of Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, new Mishnah now. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, if a person wants to take a neder that his friend should eat by him, he should make a modah in advance that any neder that he's going to take is going to be batel, and then he can take whatever nedarim that he wants in order to encourage his friend to eat by him. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to change up in just a moment. Simple reading of the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is telling us one halacha. You're trying to get your friend to eat by you. You want to take a neder. You don't want the neder to be binding. So you say before you take the neder, by the way, this is just a big joke. It's not. I'm not serious about this neder. And then you take the neder that he has to eat by you. That you can take a neder anah if he doesn't eat by you. But that only works if you remember the fact that you were mevatel it at the time that you take the neder. So frak the Gemara, wait a second. V'kivin damar kol neder shan yasad lidar yei batel lo shamalev lo asib hadei, that if you already said in advance any neder that I'm going to take is going to be batel, well then the guy's not going to come. Your neder is not going to be all that impactful. You're trying to encourage him to come. He knows that your neder is a joke, so why would he ever come? So the truth is, if you were to try to answer that question on your own without seeing what the Gemara's answer is, so is that the way we understood the Mishnah? That I'm inviting you over to my house and I tell you in advance, by the way, the neder I'm about to say is a joke, I don't mean it, and then I take the neder? No, we probably wouldn't have said that that's what it means. We probably would have said that the case is, I say belachash, I say quietly somewhere else or to somebody else, the neder I'm about to take is not serious, and then I tell you and I want to invite you over that I'm taking a neder. The Gemara does not give that answer. That would seem to be the Pashut answer, that the Moda'a was given Belachash, and then the invitation and the Neder was done out loud. So the Rishonim are bothered by this question already. The Ran and the Rush, the Rashba, all the Rishonim are bothered by this question, and the Rishonim suggest that the Gemara could have said that, they could have given that answer, and then we wouldn't have had this Kasha. But the Lashon of the Mishnah of Af, the Harotza Lahadir Schavero, sounds that the neder is not chal because of Nidrei Zruzin and not because of the Moda'a that he gave in advance. So it sounds because the Af is going on the previous discussion, and the previous Mishnah was about Nidrei Zruzin. So the fact that we use the Lashon of Af makes it sound like this is a Nidrei Zruzin issue. This is not a Moda'a Meikara issue. This is not about the fact that you're Mevatel the neder in advance. And also, we'd have the kasha, the lashon of the Mishnah, b'vad shei zachar b'shas neder. What do you mean? If you're saying it right then and there, as you're inviting him, of course you're going to remember b'shas neder. If it's all one case, and the case is that as you're inviting the person, you're saying the neder I'm about to say is not a serious neder, and then you invite them, of course you're remembering at the shas neder. So that's why there are other issues with our Mishnah, if we were to give that answer, other issues with the Mishnah that clearly indicate that the Mishnah must be talking about something else, that there must be two different halachos that are actually being stated in our Mishnah. It's not all one halacha. So says Gemara, Chisuri Mechsera V'hachi Katani, that this is how the Mishnah is missing a detail, and this is how it should be taught, that it's actually two halachos. Number one, Harotza Shiyochel Etzel Chaveru Misariv Bo Umadiro Nidrei Zuzinhu, that first of all, if you're trying to get someone to eat at your house and you're begging him and you're pushing him and you take a neder to that effect, that's just a Nidrei Zuzin. That's just a neder for a bargaining position, for an encouragement. That is not a neder that is a serious neder. And second of all, Varotza Shlo Yiskayim Nedar of Kol Hashana Yamod Berosh Hashana V'Yomer Kol Nedar Shani Yasu Lidar Yei Batel, that if a person wants that his Nedarim for the whole year should not be binding, he should get up on Rosh Hashanah and say that all of the Nedarim that I'm going to take throughout the rest of the year should be Batel. And by saying that in advance, he's able to Mevatel the Nedarim for the whole year. So the Rosh, Rashba, Ritva, many of the Rishonim point out that it doesn't mean Dafka that it has to be on Rosh Hashanah. You can do it at any time that you want. Pick any day during the year that you're going to make this declaration. When it says Yamud Rosh Hashanah, because that's just an easy time. It's a Zman Masuyam. It's a given time that would be an easy time to remember to apply for all the Nedarim of the whole year. That's how the Rosh and the Re'im understand. Other Rishonim say that we say Rosh Hashanah because we're talking about someone who doesn't want his Nedarim for the whole year. So for the whole year, the natural time to pick is Rosh Hashanah. If it was for a month, we would have said Rosh Chodesh. If it was for a week, we would have said, I don't know, the beginning of the week, we would have said Sunday. But some of the Rishonim understand that, no, Dafka is Rosh Hashanah, because that's the Yom HaDin, and therefore we assume that's when he's Gomer B'Liba Levatlam. That's when he really has full intention to be Mevatel the Nedarim. And then maybe the same would apply in Yom Kippur, that it's Dafka, the Gemara doesn't just give Rosh Hashanah as an example, but specifically when it has to be a day that a person takes himself very, very seriously and takes everything that's going on very seriously. That's what Tos Yishanim writes, that specifically on Rosh Hashanah, a person gets up to be Mevatel the Nedarim of the whole year. And then the Gemara just adds, Ublvad Sheizachar B'Shas HaNeder. But that's only if he remembers at the time of the neder that he had made this tanai, then it's going to work. So Fraktigmara, what? Izachar akri l'tanai v'kaim l'nidrei. If you remember that you had made this declaration that all of your nedarim are going to be meaningless, and then afal pikein, you went and you took a neder, why are you wasting your breath? Why would you take a neder if you remembered? It must be that you're trying to override your original moda'a. Originally you had said, I want all my nedarim to be meaningless. And now you're thinking, change my mind, still taking a neder. If you remember having said that and you're still going to take a neder, obviously you're trying to override that. So how could we say that the moda'a is going to be effective if you remember the moda'a at the time of your neder? Some Rabbi says, well, we'll scratch that and change that a little bit. Tani ublvad shelo yehe zachar b'shas haneder. The moda'a is only going to work if at the time of the neder you don't remember the moda'a. You just got angry or you got excited and you took a neder and you weren't thinking at the time that you took the neder about the moda'a. You forgot entirely about the moda'a. That's what the moda'a was for. The moda'a was for when it was for a situation where you're going to lose yourself, and in advance it takes care of any problem that would come up. So why is it that if you remember the moda'a doesn't work, and if you don't remember the moda'a does work? So the Ran later on in the Masechta and the Rashba and other Rishonim point out that the reason that if you don't remember the Tanai at the time of the Neder is not going to be Chal, is because it's considered a Neder B'Taos. That had you remembered the Tanai, you never would have taken the Neder. Had you remembered that Moda that you gave at the beginning of the year, you never would have taken it, and therefore it's, the whole thing has the status of a Neder B'Taos. In the Sefer HaFlos Nedarim, he says, the Neder is Mispatal Yidei the Tanai, because Dibor is Mevatal Dibor. The Dibor of the Tanai is Mevatal the Dibor of the Neder. But if you remember the Tanai at the time of the Neder, and you still take the Neder, then you are giving Koach to the second Dibor over the first Dibor, to the Dibor of the Neder over the Dibor of the Tanai. If you don't remember the Tanai at the Shas of Neder, since that was the whole purpose of making the Tanai, so that Dibor Arishon is going to be Mevatel, is going to be the stronger Dibor, and it's going to be Mevatel the Dibor Asheni, because the Dibor Arishon was aware of the Dibor Asheni, it was projecting that there will be a Dibor Hasheni, but the Dibur Hasheni was unaware of the Dibur Arishon. So that's why the Dibur Arishon is going to be Mevatel, the second Dibur. Rava Amar, Rava says, Li Olam Kedamrina Meikara. Maybe really we had it right the first time. Hachav Meiskinon, Kion Shehisna Barash Hashana V'lo Yada B'mehisna. Maybe the case is a little bit more detailed over here. The guy made a Tanai in Rosh Hashanah, but he doesn't know exactly what his Tanai was. He doesn't know if it was on Lechem or on Yayin, what exactly the Neder was, but he does remember that he made a Tanai that if he takes a Neder about a certain thing, that Neder is going to be Batal. But it wasn't just a general Tanai that all in the Dharma I'm going to say. It was if I take a Neder on wine, or if I take a Neder on bread, but he doesn't remember what it was. He doesn't remember what the item he identified was. Vahashta kanadar, and now he's taking a neder, and he still doesn't know what his tanai was. So he zachar b'shas neder, if he remembers at the time of the neder, the suffix that he had in his tanai, va'amar, and he says that this neder should be al das harishon ani noder, based on whatever tanai I made, meaning that if this the item that I'm being noder from right now is the item that I made a tanai that I should never be noder on, so then I want this neder to be batel. I want to live up to my original tanai. I mean, the whole reason we said that if the guy remembers it, it can't be that the neder is going to be batel, is because he's obviously by the fact that if he remembers the tanai, why is he taking the neder if he thinks the neder is going to be batel? It must be that he wants the neder to override the tanai. But it says Rava, no, it could be he's taking the neder because he's not sure what the tanai was. does. So he's not. He's taking this neder now, thinking that if this neder is a neder that I spoke about in my Tanai, good. Then let the Tanai be mevatel this neder. I'm wasting my breath right now. But there's a chance that I didn't speak about this item in my Tanai, and if that's the case, then I want my neder to be chal. So again, if it's al das rishon ani neder nidre lespe mamasha, then there's no mamashas to his neder. Neder's not going to be chal. The Tanai is going to be mevatel the neder if he realizes that it was the same item. But the lo amar al das rishon ani neder. But if he doesn't say at the time that he takes the neder that he's doing it with the original Tanai in mind, then akre the Tanai vekiyam the nidre. Then he's being okay. The Tanai is uprooting the Tanai. He's being mekayim the neder because he remembers that he made it Tanai. He just doesn't remember what it was on. So at the time that he's being neder, he has to relate to that Tanai and say that he's not coming to be mevatel the Tanai. If he didn't say that he's not coming to be mevatel the Tanai, so where he's megal das that he does want to be mevatel the Tanai. So then he's being okay the Tanai, and the neder is going to be chal. Rav Huna bar Chinna savar lemidrashe bepirka. Rav Huna bar Chinna thought that it would be a good idea to darshan in public this din that it says in the Mishnah that if you want to take care of all of your nedarim for the whole year, all you need to do is get up on Rosh Hashanah and be mevatel the nedarim for the whole year. Amalei Rava Tana kamastim lastume. The Tana put it in such a way that we can't even tell what the Mishnah is talking about. We're required explanation to figure out what's going on. And the Tana did that on purpose. The Mishnah wasn't written unclearly because no one knew how to write a Mishnah. They didn't know how to write a halacha. It was Dafka hiding this halacha, Kadesh lo yinagu kalos rosh b'nedarim, so that people won't be knowing kalos rosh and nedarim, because if everyone knows that it's just so easy to be mevatel neder in advance, so people are going to be taking nedarim all over the place, and be mevatel nedarim, taking nedarim, v'atar ashle bepirka, and now you want to go and publicly darshan this. Not a good idea to darshan this publicly. The Ran and Tosa, other Rishonim, all bring up over here in this Gemara the minhag of kol nidre, that they say all the nedarim, the yisurim, the shavuos should be mutarim ubetelim, so that relates apparently, though, according to many of these Rishonim, to being mevatel the neder me Rosh Hashanah, that at the beginning of the year, at a very serious time, it's not Rosh Hashanah, but it's Yom Kippur, it's at a very serious time, we're being mevatel the nedarim for the coming year. So there's a whole discussion in the Rishonim over here, what exactly the nature of Kol Nidre is. Is it mostly about the previous year, what the gears of Kol Nidre should be? Is it about the nedarim of the previous year, the nedarim of the coming year? Is it a hataras nedarim? Is it a tefillah about nedarim? Major discussions in Rishonim, what it's really all about. I saw a fascinating discussion in the Achronim. One of the Achronim says, well, wait a second, Rav Menashe Klein in the Tshuva, he says, you know, there's a minhag that Rabbanim always darshan on Kol Nidre night, and they very often, when they darshan on Kol Nidre night, they explain the Kol Nidre to the Hamonam. They explain exactly what's in the Kol Nidre to everybody. So he says, maybe we shouldn't do that. The Gemara says you're not supposed to be mefarsing this, that people shouldn't know what's going on. So maybe you shouldn't explain the Kol Nidre. Everyone gets caught up in it. Sometimes it's disappointing. You know, people know that it's a very emotional tefillah, and they're very and it's a haunting niggin and whatever. And then they see what it's about, vows and promises and whatever. So that's why Rabbanim normally explain it, why it's so serious and why it's such an important thing. But he says maybe based on this Gemara, it's not an appropriate. It's not an appropriate thing to be Doresh. And the Shulchan Aruch passes that way, that it's not appropriate to be Doresh about this halacha. So he writes that according to Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos, the Ritva, other poskim, Kol Nidre was nitkan based on this Gemara. So it's not just like some tenuous connection. It was the basis of Kol Nidre, according to many Rishonim, is this Gemara. So anyway, we do Belash and Targum, we do it so that people should understand. So apparently it's not a violation, meaning that we're just having everyone do the halacha without actually darshaning it publicly. Just to explain what people already did, maybe is not a violation. There are other cases in halacha also where we have this idea of getting up in advance and being mevatel something before it's done. There are other situations where this comes up in halacha by the Shulchan Aruch Paskins and some Reishai and Tassin Hilchah Shabbos that you're not allowed to move a candle that went out on Shabbos. If it was a candle that was lit when Shabbos started, so it's a basel davar aser, you're not allowed to move it. But Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Ramah does not Paskins this way, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins that if you made a Tanai Me'er of Shabbos on the candle that you should be allowed to move it, then you're allowed to move it. That's what the Rishonim that's right in Masech Shabbos, that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. And this is it's all based on a Tanai that you could make in advance. So you see over there as well that there's this concept of making a Tanai in advance to allow for something later on. You also have such a concept, so one of the Achronim suggests that maybe when you give Maisuk Safim, it's important that you have in mind that you've been Yotze in the midst of Maisuk Safim. But what if you're not going to remember? You're going to give Tzedakah a lot of times, you're not going to think of it as Maisuk Safim, you're just going to think of it as Tzedakah. So maybe a Tanai in advance that all the money that you're giving, all the money from this account, let's say, is Maisuk account, you call it your Maisuk account, that's all going to be Maisuk Safim. So such a Tanai works in advance. You have Maisfira Sa'omer, maybe, that a person can make a Tanai that what he's about to say should not count as Sfira, so that he'll still be able to count with the bracha later on. You have sometimes that a Tanai can work in advance to make it that whatever you say later on is not going to be impactful for whatever reason. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Bayulahu, two lines from the bottom of the page. Oh, yeah.